Perek Aleph, Mishnah Zayin. Av u'beno, Shiro'o Esachodesh, a father and a son that saw the renewal of the moon, and now they want to come to Beis Din, to court, and testify that they saw the new moon so that they can sanctify the new month. So Yelchu, the Mishnah says they should both go together to the Beis Din to testify. Lo Shem Starfin Zem Zeh, not that they could testify with one another, right, because a father and a son technically are invalid, they're possible to testify together because they're related, right? You cannot testify with a family member, with a father, with a son, or with two brothers. The Torah teaches us that they're invalid, they're possible for aidless with testimony because they're family. But nevertheless, they should go to the Beis Din to testify. Why? Lo Shem Starfim Zeh and Zeh, not that they could combine their testimony together as two valid witnesses. That if one of them becomes invalid, let's just say that the Beis Din investigates and they see that one of them is lying and one of them becomes invalid, so one of them will become invalid, but the other one is still a good witness. Now if somebody else comes to Beis Din, Joe Schmo comes to Beis Din, we could use Joe Schmo on either the father or the son, whoever's left, to make a complete testimony, because now you have two unrelated parties and testifying the renewal of the new moon for the new month. So not that we're going to accept the father and the son's witness testimony as one, but if one of them become invalid for whatever reason, you know, you find out that one of them's lying or one of them's a crook, so then you could use the other one and combine it with a third party witness so that you have a valid testimony. This is the opinion of the Tanna Kamma that says that a family member with another family member cannot testify. Whereas Reb Shimon says that no, Avu b'no v'chol akrovin, a father and a son and any kind of relative, they're actually kosher to testify on the new moon for the renewal of the new month. And they explain over here that Reb Shimon learns this out of a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says that Hashem was speaking to Moshe and Aaron, and Hashem says, "Hachodesh hazeh lachem, this month is for you." Meaning, Eidus zu shel chodesh, this testimony of renewal of the new month, takes shera, should be kosher, b'chem, with you. Even though you two are brothers, nevertheless, testimony from the two of you for the Kiddush HaChodesh, the sanctifying of the new month, would be kosher. So Reb Shimon learns that from this pasuk, that even though throughout the entire Torah, family members are normally invalid to testify with regarding to sanctifying the new month, there's a special pasuk that we say that they could testify together. So it's like Hashem told Moshe and Aaron that this new mitzvah is for you, and you two are brothers, so too any kind of family-related, group would be kosher to testify strictly for the new month, not for any other kinds of things in the Torah. Special leniency. Whereas the rabbis that are arguing over here, they say no. When the pasuk says, "Achodesh hazeh lachem," this month is for you, it just means that this month should be given over to you, meaning to the gedolim, to the elders of your generation. It's just like you are the elders of the generation, so to the elders, meaning the beis in the court, they should be the ones always to sanctify the new month. But not necessarily that, father and son could testify together. So that's how they dispute, the meaning of this pasuk. But comes out that the Mishnah explains that the halacha actually, if ain't halacha k'r Reb Shimon, we don't follow Reb Shimon, meaning Reb Shimon who said that a father and son could testify together, we don't follow that opinion. And we're more strict like the Chachamim. But you still see here the difference of opinions. And Amar Rabbi Yossi says, Maisa, there was a story, B'tuvia Harofe, with Tuvia the doctor, Shira'a Sechodesh, he saw the new moon, right? Be Yerushalayim in Yerushalayim. Hu ubeno v'avdo mishuchrar. He saw it, his son saw it, and his freed slave saw it. Meaning generally a slave is invalid to testify on the new month. But if the slave was freed, then he would be able to, because he's no longer a slave. So the three of them saw it. V'kiblo kohanim oso v'espeno. And the kohanim, who were serving as the Beis Din then, accepted the testimony of who? Of him and his son. Upaslu es avdo, and they invalidated his servant. They said that his servant has no yichas, has no lineage, and therefore we're not going to use the servant's testimony, but the father and the son's testimony. This would support the opinion of Reb Shimon, who's more lenient. When they came before Beis Din, right? Kiblo sov es avdo. The Beis Din accepted the father and the freed slave. Upasl es benavdo, invalidated the son's testimony, like the opinion of the chachamim. So, you know, at the end of the story, you know, it looked like we were supporting the Shimon's opinion in the beginning, but at the end, we're supporting the chachamim's opinion, and that's how we come out lahalacha like the chachamim, and that's it for Mishnah Zion. Mishnah Ches is going to mention now all the individuals that are invalid to testify for the new month. We'll see for the reasons to follow. And this is all on a rabbinic level. On a Torah level, it's whoever is called a Rasha, wicked one, cannot testify. And then the rabbi said that there are even more people that can't testify. Now we're going to list them over here. Elohim Epsulon, the following are invalid to testify as an aid, as a witness, for Kiddush HaChodesh, which was sanctifying the new month, on a rabbinic level. Hamasachik Bekuvya, a person who gambles, he's a gambler, and they explain over here that the Gemara says they were talking about a case where the gambler, She'ein lo elohis askus zulavad, the only thing he does is he gambles. It's not like he's a good guy and he also gambles. The only thing he does is he gambles. So if all he does is he gambles, then he's invalid to testify. Because she'eini osik b'yeshuva shel olam, he's not involved in the normal, you know, things that people are involved with. Kolomar, she'eini osik b'dvarim ha'mavim to'alas l'yeshuva olam. He doesn't do things that bring purpose to the world, like Torah or work. He's just a gambler. And if all he's doing is gambling, then when his soul, the sole thing he does is to gamble, he becomes invalid to testify as a witness before court. Next, umal v'beribis, a person who lends with interest. Even beribis she'eini asura, even if it's ribis, interest, it's only prohibited on a rabbinic level, right? And not just the lender would be invalid, but the lover, the borrower as well. They both become invalid to testify in court on the renewing of the new month. A person who's lending with interest, whether it's the lender or the borrower, they're both prohibited to testify on the renewal of the new month on a rabbinic level before court. Next, umafriche yonim. They used to gamble with these doves, these birds, and they would gamble, you know, which bird would fly from this point to that point, and who would come first. And whoever would come first, you know, they're, you know, the owner of that bird would win a lot of money. It's also a form of gambling, and therefore, someone who's mafriche yonim, he makes the birds fly, meaning he gambles with birds, with bird races, so he's also invalid to testify before court for the renewal of the new month. Vesochre shvi is a person who does business with the fruit that grow during a Shemitah year. Right, we know that during the Shemitah year, this every 7 years, the fruit are supposed to be ownerless, hefker, and anyone that could come, take it and eat it. And this guy goes ahead and does business with it. So that's prohibited. The Alpha P, even though this prohibition is already prohibited on a Torah level, we already know the Pasuk says, the Torah says that, you know, it should be resting to you to eat, meaning you could eat the fruit, but don't do business with the fruit. Right? Nevertheless, the Mishnah mentions this case over here amongst those that are pasul, invalid on a rabbinic level, right? Why? Because we're talking about a case over here where it's Shemitah nowadays. Nowadays, there's no Beis HaMikdash, it's only prohibited on a rabbinic level. So certainly on a Torah level, someone who does business with Shemitah fruit is invalid. And even if you find a rabbinic case, like nowadays when the whole Shemitah is on a rabbinic level, because there's no Beis HaMikdash, nevertheless, if he did business with the fruit and didn't just leave it ownerless for everyone to eat, he's invalid to testify. Va'avadim and slaves. Here's referring to an Eved Kanani. A Canaanite slave is invalid to testify. Psulmahim, the Eidus Torah, they're even invalid on a Torah level, and certainly on a rabbinic level, because they have a din as a woman. And generally, women cannot testify before a court. And that's how the Mishnah concludes. Zeh klal, here's the rule. Kol Eidus She'ein HaIsha K'sher La. Any testimony that a woman is not fit to testify. For example, monetary testimony or capital punishment. These women want to come and testify that someone killed somebody or whatever it is. The pasuk says, "Va'amdu shnei ha'anashim." Two men will stand up, and we darshan out anashim, men, velo anashim, and not women. So women cannot come to the court to testify for monetary or capital things because if they shkal kavod abas melach pnima, the honor of a woman is her inside, and therefore women are, you know, they don't come before the court. So do these people we mentioned in the Mishnah, kol ha'psulim, all those that are invalid that we mentioned in our Mishnah, Einan Ksherin La, are not kosher to testify for these type of testimonies either. They're put in the same category as women. However, they bring down over here any kind of testimony that a woman would be kosher to testify for. For example, to testify on a woman that her husband dies, and that her husband died, and now this woman is permitted to get remarried, right? Let's just say that she didn't know what happened to her husband, and now she can't get a bill of divorce because they don't know where she is. So she's stuck, you know, like that her whole life? No. If even a woman could come and testify that she knows that her husband died, for example, we believe that testimony and let this woman remarry, right? Or if the woman came to testify on a sota, that a sota is a woman who was warned not to hang out with a certain individual, and she hung out with him nonetheless, so we give her these special sota waters to drink to investigate whether she did a sin with this guy or not. So even a woman could come and testify on another woman who was, you know, accused to be as a sota, right? So too, these people mentioned in our Mishnah are kosher for these things as well. The same things that a woman would be kosher for, so to those that are invalid to testify on the renewal of the new month of this Mishnah would be kosher for those things as well. But anyone who is invalid to testify on a Torah level, because he did some kind of serious sin, then he's not kosher to testify even of things that a woman would be able to testify for. That's an important point to point out. Our Mishnah was discussing things that make a person invalid to testify on the renewal of the new month on a rabbinic level. But anything that would make somebody invalid on a Torah level, then even if it's things that a woman could testify, they cannot testify for. And that's it for Mishnah Ches.